here. But it's not a question always about being right. It's also a question about being smart. And the Winograd Commission made it very clear that even when you're right about a war, you got to be smart about it. And that's why I think Prime Minister Olmert is not long for this, for leading his country, and that is the way democracy should work. One last thing about democracy, you got to have the right to vote.
This is the Quality News Network. Iran is blaming U.S. policy for sectarian violence in Iraq. That in a speech today at the ongoing 60-nation Egyptian conference discussing the stabilization of Iraq. The accusation may mean there will be no face-to-face talks between Iranian officials and Secretary of State Condoleezza Rice. Yesterday, she met with the Syrian foreign minister. In Congress, Democrats say they are considering legislation to pay for the Iraq war through July. Money would be cut off in August if the Iraqi government failed to meet preset political and security goals. One U.S. soldier was killed, two wounded today when their vehicle hit a roadside bomb south of Baghdad. Five Iraqi policemen were killed, two wounded, in a roadside bomb attack in western Baghdad. In Afghanistan, authorities say U.S. forces have killed at least 70 civilians this week in the war against the Taliban. Anti-America demonstrations have been held in the past few days protesting those civilian deaths. Last night, 10 Republican presidential primary contenders argued during their first televised debate. Uniformly, the candidates supported the war in Iraq but questioned President Bush's strategies. Today is the last day of campaigning for the French presidential race. Sunday, citizens go to the polls to choose between right-wing Nicolas Sarkozy and left-wing Ségolène Royal. The polls indicate Sarkozy is ahead. In Cuba, rogue army soldiers attempted to hijack a U.S.-bound jet, killing an officer who tried to thwart the plan. No passengers or crew were aboard the jet when the soldiers took over. They were arrested by authorities. The World Bank and the UN say the Caribbean now has the world's highest murder rate. Violent crime threatens economic growth there, particularly because the region depends a great deal on tourism. The Colombian cocaine trade is being blamed. The FBI has joined the investigation into the LA Police Department's actions during this week's May Day pro-immigrant rally. Police broke up a peaceful rally with batons and rubber bullets, injuring scores. On Capitol Hill, the White House says it will veto a House bill passed yesterday expanding hate crime laws to include violent attacks based on gender or sexual orientation. You're listening to the Quality News Network, Science and Business, next.
If you're a news junkie, there's a book you must read called Don't Mess with the Press, How to Write, Report, and Produce Quality Television News. Don't Mess with the Press is a textbook for journalism students and a handbook for people already in the business. While written primarily as an instructional guide, Don't Mess with the Press is also useful for people who follow the news closely, who want to understand how news decisions are made by quality reporters to ensure they get the best news coverage possible. Don't Mess with the Press was written by Tony Seaton, founder and executive producer of the Quality News Network. Tony began his broadcast journalism career in his teens, eventually covering Watergate, six elections, five space shots, and a wide range of general news. He also produced Barbara Walters' news interviews for ABC. Ordering information for Don't Mess with the Press can be found at qualitynewsnetwork.com. Visit our website and click on the Don't Mess with the Press link.
In Thailand today, more than 400 international experts on climate change have approved a UN report saying the world can and must afford technology to fight global warming. Canada has confirmed a case of mad cow disease on a British Columbian farm. Authorities say no part of the animal entered the human food chain. It is the 10th confirmed case of the brain disease in Canada since 2003. UK music company EMI announced today it was considering a number of takeover offers. Warner Music has offered more than $4 billion. Private Equity Partners is reported to have offered more than $6 billion. Microsoft is asking Yahoo to consider selling itself to the Seattle-based computer giant. Wall Street analysts estimate Yahoo's value at $50 billion. Kia Motors today announced a $33 million quarterly loss. the South Korean car maker's third in a row. The company says exports are down due to the strengthening of South Korean currency. China announced it has discovered a rich oil field in North China's Bohai Bay. The country's National Petroleum Corporation says the field has proven reserves of more than 405 million tons of oil. Light sweet crude is trading at $63.24 a barrel on the New York Mercantile Exchange. More at QualityNewsNetwork.com. I'm Annabelle Lund.
Live from Chicago, the city with many names, it's the Cup of Joe Radio Show. 2 hours of truth and fury representing the fighting spirit of the American worker. And now, through the miracle of screaming audio, here's the guy your bosses hate, the Windy City's biggest windbag, your host, Joe Vecchio.
All right. Wake up. It's the Cup of Joe Show, and it's still not Joe. It's John coming to you from Sydney, but welcome to a Friday here on the Horn. And, got a few things to get to today, but, hope you all are having a good morning. I don't know if you saw this. This popped up in The Age. Obama has already been given a Secret Service detail. The most early stage that any presidential candidate has ever been given a detail. And they said it was over no particular threat. But could you just see Bush going to his own Secret Service guys and saying, hey, come on, you gotta talk to your buddy, need to know what's going on. I'd be so wary. I'd be very wary. But, you know, they didn't say it's any particular threat, but I'm not surprised, really. I mean, this is the most high-profile, aside from Jesse Jackson, but the most realistic African-American, you know, candidate in history. And so, yeah, you wouldn't have to think very hard to come down to the conclusion that, you know, there might be a nutter out there. 'Cause we got a few. Boy, do I have a few. What was that I heard on the QNN news? Was that EMI that's up for sale, or was it EMI that's buying? Another record company merger? We have to homogenize music anymore? I mean, sorry to go completely off subject, but I heard that and just, I know most listeners to the Horn would probably agree with me in the opinion that music has, shall we say, lost it as far as quality over the last couple of decades. And the biggest problem has been this consolidation of media outlets and just what it's done to, you know, news programming and television. It's also done to music. And EMI is already owned by Sony here in Australia. So this is how weird this whole thing gets. All this stuff is owned by companies who own each other, but in different kind of bizarre multi-tentacled forms. And this is really, you know, American Idol. I'm sorry, if you watch American Idol, you are absolutely an enemy of music. You know, I'm not talking about tuning into it once in a while, but like those people that vote and actually follow that. You know, we got Australian Idol here. It's the exact same thing. It's the exact same production. And I'm telling you, because I live in a place that is a little America in many ways, but it's a much smaller pond. So it's a lot easier to see inside the machine. And within 2 years of Australian Idol starting here, releases of new music by actual playing musicians just dropped. Just went nowhere. And Ray mentions BMI and ASCAP, and yeah, there's some issues there. However, BMI and ASCAP work in an environment that is dictated by law. They're almost a forced duopoly. And I have actually worked for BMI before. And, you know, I kind of, one of those things, if I knew then what I knew now, I might not have done it. And, but then again, the person, the place that I was actually kind of playing inside Spy for hadn't paid any fees for the music that they were using when it, that was the agreement. And at the time, like I can tell you, standard BMI and ASCAP fees for a nightclub weren't bad. It was done off of your entertainment budget annually, and it was like a pittance. But that's all you had to pay, and it went into the pool, and it did its thing. Now, the problem, in my mind, with this, is not so much BMI and ASCAP themselves, but how the record companies manipulate the system. And it's not like conspiratorial or anything like that, but they just have found ways to work it, and they work, and they play the same tricks on new naive young musicians time and time again and get them to sign things over. But because if they actually did know what was going on, these same valves would be able to protect them. But there's other problems there. But I just, EMI, if it was, either EMI is absorbing somebody or they're the ones being absorbed. That kind of got by me who it was. It just suddenly, my ears perked up, you know, record label on sale. I mean, that, what in America, there'd be Sony, EMI, Warner, Capitol is now owned by Sony. It's just, there's enough to go around. See, this is the thing. There's enough to go around money-wise, and there's enough to go around music-wise. That's what's so sad. It's not as though there's a supply or demand problem going on here. But there's this weird thing of wanting to control the content, which bugs the hell out of me. I can't even tell you. You know, I've heard a few bands say, where's the bitch factor? Where's the complain factor music? And it's just the record companies are part of the media thing, and so they don't want to hear it. So they make sure that it doesn't get released. And I can't even... There are countless stories of incredibly talented people who were given budgets to go record albums that, after the albums were done, they just stayed on shelves, as in not ever pressed, or put out there, but no one as much put a little white flag and said, "Hi, album for sale," and then watch them sink into some sort of pile of debt. Why? I don't know. Anyway, we're coming up on our first break, and when we come back, I got some John Gibson audio, and this guy is so bad and so transparent and so nuts, absolutely off his rocker. But anyway, you're listening to the Cup of Joe Show with John Fox filling in, and you're on the Head On Radio Network, and we'll be back with Looney Tunes' John Gibson and Rosie O'Donnell. We'll be back after this.
This is the Head On Radio Network.
President Bush isn't listening to us.
It's time to end the war.
Congress passed a plan to end it
and bring our troops home.
But the president vetoed it.
We want Congress to know
we are with you.
Don't back down to President Bush.
Send him the same bill again and again.
We, the people, will stand with you.
Because stopping a president who believes he can do no wrong
takes people with courage to do what's right.
I'm John Edwards, and I approve this message.
There's one place on the web you can go that's so topical you can apply it liberally. WD40.com. WDYAD40.com. Clyde Wally and Dookie are there. They're working hard every day to give you updates in news, politics, and a great sense of humor. So stop on by and see the boys at WD40.com, a place where you can raise your voice and be heard. WD40.com, your one-stop shop for all things progressive.
Obviously need to address the issue of the Saddam Hussein execution. Have seen the video that was taken on a cell phone, or have read about the circumstances surrounding the execution. It's pretty evident that the absolutely worst thing that could have happened with the carrying out of the sentence after the long trial of Saddam Hussein happened. And if we had sat down and made a list and said, all right, here's a list of six or seven different things that could happen, what would be the very, very worst thing that could happen, not only for us, for the United States, but for the world and for the Iraqis themselves? And it seems to me that if not first, then definitely second would have been what indeed did happen.
The Dr. Bill O'Brien Show, Tuesday to Thursday, noon to 2 Eastern, here on the Head On Radio Network.
What? You like music diversity? You enjoy discovering and supporting independent artists? You want to listen to something new and different and cool? Oh, well, you better act fast then. Go to SaveNetRadio.org and sign the petition to help save Internet radio. If you don't, the big record labels are going to butter their bread with your Internet. SaveNetRadio.org. What? You like music diversity? You enjoy discovering and supporting independent artists? You want to listen to something new and different and cool? Oh, well, you better act fast then. Go to SaveNetRadio.org and sign the petition to help save Internet radio. If you don't, the big record labels are going to butter their bread with your Internet. SaveNetRadio.org.
This is The Horn, the Head-On Radio Network.
All right, everybody, welcome back to the Cup of Joe Show here for a Friday morning, and a couple of good PSAs there, not the, you know, internet radio one, but I want to talk about that John Edwards one that we ran there. Now, as you know, this network is looking for funding. Well, before you even asked the question, we have not taken a dime for running that. However, we are running it for very specific reasons. We know, as most of the listeners to this network agree with that. And none of us are fans or supporters of the way finance, campaign finance and the money is run. And we would not want a penny to run this. Because the message of this thing is important to get out. And John Edwards himself is, you know, looking for donations to get this thing on television. And I actually sent this thing to Bob. And we had a little bit of a chat about it. And, you know, I said to him, look, I reckon, because as you know, John Edwards' grassroots campaign before he announced his candidacy was pretty bloody good. And they would pull out all stops from time to time to get on something. And I think that they would have done this whether he was running right now or not. It's just, this is what needs to be heard. And I think the message of it to the Democrats, it's like, hey, we got your back on this one. You know? You actually went and represented us. Knob and boy, I'm the commander guy. Completely just looks at the American people and just says, well, bugger you guys. I'm taking my dollies and playing the way I want. And so at this moment, if we want our representatives to stand up for us, we gotta show that we got their back. And I think that this is exactly what this is all about. And you know, it's it's good stuff. It's good stuff. Good on you, John. Good on you. So anyway, to move on. Oh my God. Is Gibson a nutter? I mean, I'm really glad that I don't have American cable television in my house. Because I think I'd just go absolutely just berserk. I couldn't, you know, I'd be ripping the thing out of the wall. So I'm flipping through the web and I'm over at Raw Story and there's this thing with John Gibson and Rosie O'Donnell and I said, oh, this I got to see. And we've got the audio from the video clip, and if there was ever a paper-thin attempt at propaganda, this is it. This is just completely, like, lunatic stuff. Bob, go ahead and run that audio, and I'll probably say something at some point.
The big outrage, our favorite loudmouth, Rosie O'Donnell, is making headlines again. This time she's been named one of Time Magazine's 100 most influential people in the world. That's right, the most influential in the world. This is the same woman who spends a large part of her airtime on The View bashing the president and his administration.
Anderson Cooper's not on the list. Katie Couric is not on the list. Diane Sawyer is not on the list. Charlie Gibson is not on the list.
Conspiracy.
Against journalists.
Anyway,
I think journalists aren't really allowed to give their opinions.
They don't say things like we should impeach George Bush like I do. You know,
I would prefer that the president spend his time at the funeral of a dead soldier than on American Idol.
They say he has a 27% approval rating, which I would like to reverse that and say he has a...
If you can. Sorry, I love that. I love that. You know, I'd much rather him go to a soldier's funeral. And I caught yesterday. I hadn't actually caught the Moyers interview with Jon Stewart. So I had also missed Jon Stewart's interview with John McCain. Woohoo! That was interesting. Moyers describing McCain as actually having deflated, which I thought was just absolutely unbelievable. But Gibson is just, you know, here's O'Donnell, but then suddenly Rage Against the Machine, which then melds into the Democrats. This is just wild. Please continue, Bob.
73% disapproval rating, because that's more appropriate to say 73% of the American people do not support this president.
Well, it looks like her influence is rubbing off. The band Rage Against the Machine got together again to join the Bush bashing party. Take a listen to what they said about the president last week at a music festival in California. Hung and tried and shot. These radical lefties, they not only want the president impeached, they want him dead. Is this left-wing meltdown a new trend? Brian Darling is the director of Senate Relations at the Heritage Foundation. So, Brian, you know, the fulminating, I thought, might sort of calm down after the Democrats won the Congress, but if anything, it's got even worse. Can you explain why this rage continues?
Look at it. It's like it just goes from Rosie O'Donnell to being an influence on Rage Against the Machine. That's just insane. Now and then it's the that is now the radical left. So they're saying that Pelosi and crew think like Rage Against the Machine, that they should be hung by their short and curlies or shot or whatever it was. Now, mind you, there could be an issue with that lyric in U.S. law. What's your opinion on that, Bob, actually? You know, there's certain things we can't say purely out of, you know, you cannot make a threat to the president even in a joke. And that freedom of speech is a myth in the U.S. That's not exactly the answer that I was looking for, mate. Then you get this guy from the Heritage Foundation on, and this is just when the bullshit just started getting spread with a butter knife. Right. I don't even know if I'm going to repeat that on air. Bob's just telling about a case of a guy who told a joke in a bar. I won't say the punchline because I don't want to end up where this guy is. He's in jail. And I could think of a whole lot of other things that term could even have referred to. But anyway. That's scary. But then you just connect this to the radical left as though this is, you know, and the Bush bashing party. But yet, in the clip of Rosie O'Donnell, who he's really wanting to tear to shreds, she quotes statistical fact, you know. And she says, you know, it should be a disapproval rating. You know, over 70% of the American people do not approve of this nutter. There's this Chris Rock thing out there where he says, I'm not afraid of Al-Qaeda, I'm afraid of Al-Qaeda. Anyway. anyway, we're coming up on the bottom of the hour break, so we'll come back to the end of this because it just goes into absolute la la land. I mean, I don't know if it sounds as insane to you as it did to me, but I was going, okay, you went from 1 to 9 to 14 to 25, and you got back home again. That was interesting. So stick around, folks. You're listening to the Cup of Joe show. This is John Fox filling in. We'll be right back here on the Head On Radio Network.
Sweetie, I love you, but those jeans have got to go.
Yeah, I know. Grab me a pair next time you go to the store, would you?
No.
Uh-huh.
I'm not going there anymore. I can't stand it.
What do you mean?
It's just awful, honey. The only smile in that building is that big yellow face. Everybody else looks miserable, and I can't find anything there that's made in our country. That bothers me.
Well, nobody makes clothes in America anymore.
Au contraire, mi amigo. There's a ton of American-made clothing at No Sweat.
Well, where's this No Sweat store? Out at the mall?
No, silly. I found them at HeadOnRadioNetwork.com. There's a link there. I already ordered some great workout gear, and I also got you some new jeans. They'll be here in a couple of days. Surprise.
HeadOnRadioNetwork.com?
Uh-huh. Just click on the No Sweat banner. You're right there. Helps union workers and helps support America's other liberal network. Cool, huh?
I knew listening to the horn was a good idea.
Whose idea?
Your idea, dear. All the good ones are.
Union made? No sweat. Great prices? No sweat. Great looks? No sweat. No sweat at HeadOnRadioNetwork.com. Click the banner. Do the right thing.
You're listening to WIN, Workers Independent News. I'm Doug Cunningham. The company that appears to be favored by Chrysler reportedly now wants its roughly 50,000 workers to be in the UAW and CAW unions. Magna International is North America's second largest auto parts maker. The UAW and CAW didn't immediately return calls from Workers Independent News looking for confirmation, but the New York Times is reporting that Magna has been meeting with UAW and CAW officials. The Times said Canadian Auto Workers President Buzz Hargrove confirmed that Magna came to him about negotiating an agreement that would give all Magna workers in the U.S. and Canada union representation. Minimum wage became collateral damage when President Bush vetoed the Iraq War spending bill, Jesse Russell reports.
Little attention was given to the decision by Democratic leadership to attach the minimum wage increase, a key part of their legislative agenda, to the Iraq War spending bill, a bill they knew President George W. Bush had planned to veto. Under the bill, federal minimum wage would have increased from $5.15 per hour to $7.25 per hour over a two-year period. It also would have provided tax relief for small businesses. Bush has said in the past that he would support such a measure, but was unwilling to let it pass while being tied with military funding with benchmark dates for U.S. troop withdrawals. Representative Steny Hoyer said that as Congress sits down to draft a new war spending bill, he expects the minimum wage bill to once again be attached to it. Congress could send the minimum wage hike with tax breaks to the president as a standalone package. It has been nearly a decade since the last federal minimum wage increase.
Northwest Airlines flight attendants have won a round in bankruptcy court, a $65 million claim on payment for preferred Series C stock. The Association of Flight Attendants, CWA, had sued on behalf of the flight attendants who held the company's Series C preferred stock, and the court upheld the claim. Workers holding those stocks will now be compensated. That stock was issued by Northwest in an agreement with the Teamsters, who in 1993 was the union representing the flight attendants. Northwest tried to stiff the workers on the stock's value by declaring bankruptcy, but the workers have won this bankruptcy court claim, and they're expected now to get roughly 79 cents on the dollar for the stock.
Here is today's economic report. A new report finds that 1 in 4 American children don't have full-time health care. The startling findings by the Children's Health Fund says that 11.5 million children go without medical care for at least part of the year, with 9 million who are completely uninsured, and another 3 million who simply don't have transportation to see a doctor. According to the report, many families make too much money to qualify for Medicaid, but not enough to afford personal health insurance.
Workers Independent News puts workers and their unions on the national radio news airwaves every day. To help keep labor's voice on the air, go to laborradio.org.
Doug Cunningham, Workers Independent News.
This is the Head On Radio Network.
All right, everybody. Welcome back to the Cup of Joe Show. John Fox hanging with you here for a Friday morning. Wake up. Wake up. It's time to go to work. Or almost. You got a few minutes here. You got to stick around for a bit. I've been doing this Gibson audio, and this from this point on with this guy from the Heritage Foundation, and I'll probably just let it run to the end, and I'll just maybe like bark and cackle at points. But it just, I mean, what do you think? This is just absolute turns into the most, like, you know, drugstore paper, wrapping paper thin bit of propaganda I've heard in ages. Go ahead and roll the rest of that, Bob.
This is an outrage. I mean, the things we're hearing out of Rosie O'Donnell and Rage Against the Machine are just terrible. And these are people that hate red state America. They hate people who believe in gun ownership. They hate people who believe in traditional values. And they especially hate having a strong national defense. Most Americans want to win the war on terror. They want to win the war in Iraq. But these people are driven by their hatred of George Bush and their blame America first attitude.
What is it, Brian, that they expect to get out of, do you think, out of this constant Bush bashing? I mean, what's the end result?
Well, it's kind of an echo chamber. You hear Rosie O'Donnell, you hear Harry Belafonte, you hear Michael Moore, and all these far left-wing individuals in Hollywood and in music, and they seem to build off each other, and they get popular maybe within their own little circle of friends.
Well,
but
wait a minute.
Terrible.
They get popular in places like the U.S. Senate and the House of Representatives. Do you see this attitude rubbing off on mainstream, partisan, but nonetheless mainstream Democrats?
Well, I think we're seeing a battle in the Democrat Party for the heart and soul of the party between the Daily Kos and all these left-wing groups and all these left-wing individuals like Sean Penn, and then your more moderate Democrats. And you're seeing it play out with the presidential candidacy of Hillary Clinton, where she, on one hand, says she was prepared to go in Afghanistan if she were president, but she opposes a war in Iraq. And you're seeing this battle play out in the Democrat presidential debates, and it's going to be interesting to see which faction wins over the Democrats.
I just had a question on the screen. I want to know what your answer is. Is hating Bush a political philosophy?
I think some people hate Bush as a political philosophy. I think they hate a lot of the beliefs that are embodied by President Bush. And I think there are some people that don't want us to win.
What?
They blame America first, and they really don't want us to prevail in this global war on terror.
Brian Darling, with the Director of Senate Relations at the Heritage Foundation. Brian, thanks very much.
Thanks a lot.
They just want us to fail.
Oh my God, it's so pathetic. Oh. They just want us to lose. My ass is sore from the beating it's taken, but they just want us to lose. Gravel said it. This thing was lost the day George Bush illegally invaded over lies. End of story. We got to take our lumps and live with it. And find a way to try and repair the damage as best we can. I'm watching this thing. I must have watched it about five or six times before I decided to send it to Bob. And I'm just looking at this thing and the guy looks like such. Is he a cartoon character? I mean, he just looks dead. He looks. It's like you can kind of see through him. You can't. That wouldn't surprise me, Bob.
And then it's just this, you know, this just absolute just like, just pornographic kind of display of jingoistic Yeah, now that I'd buy. Okay. I might get in trouble for this. But old Bob reckons, you know, maybe he'll get caught with a PC full of some uncool pics on his computer. Yeah, he strikes me as a bit weird. That's all I can say. Every time I end up seeing anything from this guy, he just comes off as being just a bit odd, a bit crazy, a bit too megaphone and pom-poms on the war. It's just, it's a bit new. But I still keep trying to get from Rosie O'Donnell influencing Rage Against the Machine being the fight for the heart of the Democratic Party. What planet? Hello. Oh yeah, he wrote the War on Christmas book. Thank you, Bob. Okay, that puts this numbnutter on into a bit of perspective. I mean, what a And, you know, I, for one, dig Rage Against the Machine. And I think, you know, Audio Slave had run its course, and this is a time that, you know, there isn't enough bitch music. This is what I was talking about before. They're shooting the baby Jesus. They're killing Christ. You know, I'm, like, so sick of religious people from, like, so many angles, from so many different places. I'm tired of all this, but I believe in this thing that there is no basis in, and I got things that I have read from secondhand accounts that I take as firsthand accounts. And I'm 38 and I still believe in the tooth fairy. You see? I'm just gonna grunt for the rest of the show. Yes, Rage Against the Machine, the only band that ever shut down the stock exchange for a few hours. I still like that clip. Forget which song it is, because they all sound the same. But I don't care. They're fun. I reckon they probably could be writing some really good stuff now. And I got to say, I got to with that lyric is, you know, touch and go as far as, you know, ooh. And, like, I'm not one for ever censoring behavior, and I actually also look at artistic writing as being also sometimes more imagery. And so, you know, does this really would that constitute a threat? I could see some legal scholars going over that one for a while. Man. But John Gibson, you dweeb. You're a dweeb. You're sad. You're just sad. You and little Heritage Friend Foundation mates are sad. Anyway, we're getting on the last break for the. sorry, this is it's just you listen to stuff like that and your brain just kind of goes to mush because, well, that's what it's produced to do. Anyway, we're going to go down to our final break for the Cup of Joe show for today and for the week. You're listening to John Fox filling in for Mr. Joe Vecchio, who's moving house. And you're listening to the Head On Radio Network. And we'll be right back.
This is Bill O'Brien with a message that pretty much defines Concord University. It's from Emily Dickinson. There is no frigate like a book to take us lands away, nor any coursers like a page of prancing poetry. This traverse may the poorest take without oppressive toll. How frugal is the chariot that bears a human soul. Respect for learning, a mission to deliver education that touches souls, consideration to what students can afford, career rewards that pay dividends far beyond the dollars earned. At Concord, we've never crossed that important line between the business of education and education as a business. The first is extremely serious. It changes lives and connects with the moral and the spiritual. We're good at that. The second is no less serious. It raises ethical concerns, however. We avoid that. Concord University, the frugal chariot that bears human souls. Call the Concord Admissions Office, 1-888-384-5249.
It must have been prayer meeting with Reverend Brother Bob.
See, hey, Peter, welcome to the program.
You absolutely know that you cannot mention Robert Sunday without conjuring me. This is the known fact.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Right. Well, sometimes I do it on purpose.
You know, the thing that kills me, you know, God just continues to punk Robertson. After time, after time, and it goes back for years. You know, let's just talk a minute about his business venture. From 91 to 94, he was involved in something called Calo Vita, and it was a multi-level marketing company that freed that pyramid scheme.
Yeah, like Amway.
Sold beauty products and healthcare products. Oh, they had a product called Sea of Galilee Mud Mask.
No, they did not.
Oh, yes, thank you.
You no.
Bob, as a heart attack, I'm serious.
Sea of Galilee Mud Mask?
Oh, yes, it was part of the product line.
Prayer meeting edition of Head On with Bob Kincaid, Wednesday nights, 6 to 9 p.m. here on the Head On Radio Network.
Here's a little test for you. Identify the following water-saving devices around your home. Using water wisely is important since our growing population puts pressure on this limited resource. Ready? That's water-saving device number 19, your outdoor faucet. Check faucets, sprinklers, and hoses for drips or leaks to save water and money. That's your toothbrush, water-saving device number 54. Turn the faucet off while you brush and save up to 25 gallons a month. It's water-saving device number 11, your water bill. If it's unusually high, you could have a leak. Learn to detect and repair leaks by contacting your water provider. Last clue? That's BeWaterSmart.net, a helpful website full of water-saving tips from the Water Conservation Coalition and your local water provider. There are a number of ways to save water, and they all start with you. Water, use it wisely.
This is the Head On Radio Network, The Horn.
All right, everybody, welcome back to the Cup of Joe radio show. John Fox filling in for Mr. Joe Vecchio, and don't have all that much time left, but a little bit of a development in the pet food story. And I follow this because, well, I have pets. And I know many of you out there do as well. And from CBS News... and the AP says the mystery of how two chemicals that are considered non-toxic poison so many pets have been solved. The breakthrough was made at the University of Guelph in Ontario, Canada, a week ago. Scientist Mary Partis mixed together a few drops of melamine, which is what they've been talking about, and cyanuric acid, the two unauthorized chemicals found in the tainted pet food. In less than a second, they formed a mass of crystals nearly identical to the crystals found in the kidneys of the sickened animals. If you can imagine an instantaneous kidney stone, that's essentially the way that I would perceive it, said this doctor. So this is, you know, not that it helps anybody now, really, but now they know what happened. That's wild. That's really wild. And there's stuff about how some tainted corn has gotten into animal feed in the United States. I need to look up on some of that, because that's that could be a bit bloody scary. But you know, there's a whole bunch of listeners on the horn that have started making their own food for their dogs and cats because of this. I mean, this is a big scare, and I still think that this thing that's happened with the pet food, very possibly, and it's continuing to look like it may be, will be a thing that's going to shine the light on the manufactured food industry. But from that weird, stupid American left-hand angle that has to be used to get our attention. You know, we don't get it when it's being put right in front of our face, but have it come diagonal through one of our consumptions, and we go, oh, this is terrible. We suddenly wake up. It seems like there's been a lot more press about this than there have been about some other things that have actually dealt with things that humans have eaten. But it's making people think twice about a lot of things, you know. And like I've mentioned before, you know, we've got these lists that we go with us when we go shopping, so that when we shop at the different stores, we can tell whether it's, you know, it's got GM in it, or and you got, you know, this and then that. And it's like, you know what? Being socially responsible is a pile of work. It's a lot of bloody work. So, you know, going back to that Edwards thing, you know, we've been doing a lot of emailing representatives and whatnot over the last few months, and I've been kind of feeling, I've been getting the impression that, you know, just watching our chat room and the flow of emails into the email box, that we might be in a lull at the moment, but this is not the time to have a lull. Actually, right now is probably, if there's a time that we got to kind of rally around our representatives, it's probably right now. Because it could kick the door right wide open. And finally tell this little brat, no. You know what I mean? It's time to tell this, you know, absolutely full-on, 100% embarrassment of a president that he can't have anymore. He's not allowed to use the United States like his plaything for he and his buddies to rape. It's pretty much what they've done. I mean, the Treasury's gutted. stuck in this absolute cesspool of a thing that we started in Iraq. And I mean, I was saying the other night, you know, wanting to play what ifs. And it's just like, you know, okay, we come up with a date to get out. How do we, you know, how do we actually get out? You know, do we just split and leave the gear? You know, does get out end up meaning a whole nother round of negotiations to come up with another, you know, the plan for the plan for the plan for the plan of how to get out of Iraq? There's this bloody columnist, American guy who's touring, he's down in Australia, and he's one of the environmental writers, and I'm going to kick myself for the fact that I can't remember his name. And he made a really interesting statement. He said, not only is it time for America to have its first black president, and not only is it time for America to have its first white president, but it's time for America to have its first environmental president, and it's time for America to have its first ever human rights president. You know? Thanks for the memories. They're singing thanks for the memories as we split from Iraq. You know, and I mean, yeah, it's going to be chaos over there, regardless of what happens. But I mean, ooh, what do we put in the vacuum that was the mess that we started? I mean, what do we do? Do you think we're able to dump this on the UN? I don't know. It's going to be really hard. I mean, or do we come up with some sort of, and boy, would this be scary to the neocons and for a lot of other people, for some sort of, you know, inter-Arab council to take over the, you know, dealing with it, because that's basically what it's become, is an it. Unfortunately, that it is home to a whole bunch of innocent men, women, and children. And we really just should get the hell out. Anyway, thanks to Bob for producing. Appreciate it, mate. Thanks to our bloggers and our mods in the chat room. Thanks to Ben Birch at the White Rose Society. Thanks to unreportednews.net, who is a sponsor of this program. And thanks to Cup of Joe for letting me fill in. And either Joe's going to be back on Monday or I might be back on Monday. So we'll both know at the same time, don't you know? So stick around after the news. You got John Fox and hey, 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 get back to work.
I want a cup of Joe, I crave a plate of Dave, open a jar of Joan, don't put anything on, I'll chug a jug of George, I'll sip a mug of Doug, with the creamer of steam, how many more does that leave? Give me a pot of Scotch, heat up a pan of Stan, throw in a handful of Dick, that'll do, and retreat to a carafe of mash upon a tray of Ray, I'll lick a spoon of Sean. Do I need to go on? I want a cup of Joe. Chaz into a
of Bob. I'll smoke a pack of Jack while I'm flat on my back. I'll eat a dish of Chris out of a bowl of Joel on a saucer of tin. Or would you rather have him just fill me up with Fred? Feed me a fork of Frank and one more helping of Dick. Lay it on nice and thin. Open a can of Dan and make a meal of Sam. But don't give me no more, 'cause what I really want's a cup of Joe.
This is the Head On Radio Network.
This is the Quality News Network. Iran is blaming U.S. policy for sectarian violence in Iraq. That in a speech today at the ongoing 60-nation Egyptian conference discussing stabilization of Iraq. The accusation may mean there will be no face-to-face talks between Iranian officials and Secretary of State Condoleezza Rice. Yesterday, she met with the Syrian foreign minister. In Congress, Democrats say they're considering legislation to pay for the Iraq war through July. Money would be cut off in August if the Iraqi government failed to meet preset political and security goals. One U.S. soldier was killed, two wounded today when their vehicle hit a roadside bomb south of Baghdad. Five Iraqi policemen were killed, two wounded in a roadside bomb attack in western Baghdad. The Pentagon releases a report today showing that a third of U.S. combat forces suffer from depression, anxiety, and acute stress. Also, a third approve of torture on behalf of the lives of fellow soldiers and Marines. In Afghanistan, authorities say U.S. forces have killed at least 70 civilians this week in the war against the Taliban. Anti-American demonstrations have been held in the past few days protesting those civilian deaths. In Kiev, Ukraine's feuding president and prime minister have agreed to hold early parliamentary elections. The announcement is aimed at ending the country's constitutional crisis. The World Bank and the UN say the Caribbean has now the world's highest murder rate. Violent crime threatens economic growth there, particularly because the region depends a great deal on tourism. The Colombian cocaine trade is being blamed. The FBI has joined the investigation into the L.A. Police Department's actions during this week's May Day pro-immigrant rally. Police broke up a peaceful rally with batons and rubber bullets, injuring scores. The U.S. Senate adopted a measure permitting lower-priced drugs